Columbia Morning at News Talk 1400 KFRU. There is a city council meeting tonight. Some would say, well, isn't it President's Day? It is, but that's not a city holiday. They'll be working tonight in the council chambers on Broadway. Mayor Brian Treese joins us this morning. Mayor, good morning. How are you?
David, good morning. How are you today?
Doing well. All right. Let's jump in to talking about what's going to be talked about tonight in the city council. We were talking off the air, and I like to go through on Thursdays or Fridays the week before a meeting, go through the agenda and try to see what might be something that will drive conversation. You said off the air that this agenda appears to be kind of light, but maybe you deserve that after a very long meeting last time.
Well, we may be overcompensating for the 7.5-hour meeting we had 2 weeks ago. And if there's such a thing as council jet lag, I think the entire community had it. I don't know if it's the same as an international airlines flight, but they say you need like a full day for every hour in the sky. I don't know if that counts for council meetings or not. But hopefully tonight, this really allows us to focus on community-oriented policing resolution, and while I have not seen any opposition to it, I know that there's a lot of public comment that people want to share, and I want to make sure that we take time to do that and do it properly.
All right, so we're going to talk about community policing. You have the resolution I have in front of me as I print it off. Of course, this could undergo some changes, but who draws up the resolution when it is presented like it is in the agenda material?
Well, in this case, it was really the collaborative work of Ian Thomas and Mike Trapp. And keep in mind, we started this back in December, and there are sufficient concerns about both this content and the process that we took a step back and through a series of public input sessions led by Mary Ratliff and the NAACP and Race Matters Friends and a whole consortium. And, you know, we've had hundreds of people come and initiate a community dialogue about this to really underscore some of the points in this resolution. But let me be clear, this is not the community policing plan. This is just declaring our support for it, and then we'll take another very deliberative, well-thought-out process to develop what that plan, what that structure, what that staffing, what that ethos looks like.
If this is adopted as it is written now, the resolution says at the very end, the proposed citywide community-oriented policing program and transition plan shall be presented to the City Council by the last day of August of this year.
Right, so about 6 months.
Is that an aggressive plan? I would say, in light of what you have said and others have said, since this has been a topic of conversation for a long time, where are we in defining satisfactorily to everybody what community policing means?
Well, I think that's part of the challenge here, and I think it should be part of the challenge. I mean, this is community-oriented policing. It's not like we are adopting the community policing plan of Washington, D.C., or Gainesville, Florida, or Fort Collins, Colorado. We are writing for ourselves what we want our police department to look like, how we want them structured, what we want their priorities to be. And while law enforcement is part of that, I know that prevention is also a major component of that, and how we achieve those things based on what works in our community is going to be salient in these discussions.
What have you heard up to now that resonates with you? And before you answer that, I have asked law enforcement people, and not just from the Columbia Police Department, and then I've seen the other stories. People are saying from law enforcement, we already practice community policing. We do this and we do that. And that is sort of what community policing is. I don't know whether that's a defensiveness or not. I think I understand why they are saying that, and it seems to make sense to me that some of what is done is community policing, but then to implement it, it seems to me like the biggest thing is going to be, from most conversations, is, well, you're not going to be able to implement any plan unless you have more police officers.
I agree, and I agree that our police officers already show the respect and rapport with the community that they serve every day. I do think that they practice community policing. I think it could be a better system-wide effort, that really permeates the leadership structure of the police department. And, you know, for me, what I've heard in talking to police officers, but also talking to the community, is a strong desire to have the consistent repetition of the same law enforcement officer in the same neighborhood over a consistent period of time so that they're developing those relationships so that when bad things happen, and David, bad things will happen, that they have the relationship in place that people feel comfortable coming to their police officer, that they know them by name, they know, you know, the how to reach that person, that they feel comfortable sharing the tips and the information that they have. And right now that's hard to do because oftentimes they're running from call to call to call and do not have the time to develop the relationships that we expect.
Help me understand, and I want to hear this from someone who, like you, who is not in the law enforcement, because I think that many of us have this question, and I'd like to hear how, because I'd be surprised if you haven't thought this through or asked people about this. I like the idea of community policing. I like what you just said about getting to know the people that would be within your regular beat. You would get to know those people. They would get to know you. There would be a comfort between. But if I'm living like maybe in my neighborhood, I would see a moderate need for someone to regularly be making that circuit and that route. If I lived in maybe Heritage Estates, I would see a less than moderate need for that to happen. If I lived across Broadway, four blocks north of where I live now, I would see a heavier need for that to happen. So I guess the idea is, I like the idea, but then at the same time, not all workloads are created equally in the beats.
It is, and that raises a significant problem. And look, I don't want to pick on any neighborhood, but there are some neighborhoods that require more continuous intervention, for lack of a better term. And you can look up the streets on the Shots Fired map, you know, whether it's Bodie Drive or you know, whatever it may be, where you could probably justify having 20 police, you know, routes through that neighborhood, or, you know, a more continuous one. Of the reasons we're locating a North Precinct up there is because it requires additional intervention. You have 20 police cars running through the neighborhood in Southwest Columbia in the Fifth Ward, and you're going to start getting 911 calls. What's the problem? You know, and yet at the same time, we're trying to tax people equally to pay for that services when disproportionately one area is receiving more attention than others.
That's an interesting point. I hadn't thought in the taxing way, but you're right. We're paying same rates. Mayor Brian Treese is our guest. If you want to join us, even though he's on the phone and you're thinking, well, can another person on the phone join us? You can, 442-8255, if you want to comment on this. So let's be clear about this tonight. When you get to the discussion of community policing, I'm looking at my agenda right now, that comes up under new business. So that will be public opportunity to communicate on this?
Absolutely, yeah. And we should get to it fairly quickly, and just looking at there's one public hearing, there's old business, and then the consent agenda, and then we'll get into community policing. So hopefully it won't be too late.
All right. Callers have joined us. Caller, you're on with us. Good morning.
Good morning. Mayor, I hear so much about this community policing and what it's going to do and what it's not going to do. What is going to be happening with the traffic problem in this city? I don't hear that mentioned at all. You have no traffic division. And it shows every time you drive through this city, at least for me, and I'm off here every day.
Okay. Because we got two phones, Jack, I'll let you listen off the air. That is a concern that he has regularly. Community policing, would it mean, could it mean, reinstituting a traffic unit?
Well, ironically, it was the creation of the community outreach unit, the COU, that under the previous administration required the dismantling of the traffic division. Because they couldn't afford to fund both units. And it does not make sense to me that as a college town that we wouldn't have a traffic unit that was responsible for DWI enforcement and, you know, all of those issues on a very busy cross-section of or intersection of I-70 and 63 and all the traffic that comes off of that and impacts our community. Also, you know, those traffic stops are a regular component or a vital, important component to policing in terms of early intervention. I wonder if the spike in recent crimes hasn't been because we haven't been able to have some of that more regular rapport with some of these traffic violations that then, you know, fail to end up in Muni court or circuit court or in all the concomitant background checks that go into to what may be perceived as a simple traffic ticket.
Are you aware that in any of the feedback that you have you outlined leading up to this point of the city council meeting tonight, that some people, when they say community policing includes, and you fill in the blanks, traffic unit?
Well, again, I think that's a staffing issue, and I think almost any way you cut it, the desire to have community policing will at some point require a significant increase in law enforcement. Just statistically with a community of our size and what is recommended, but also to have the comfort and the time necessary to really develop into those relationships.
I want to get to those numbers in a second, but I'll get to a phone call first. Caller, hi, you're on with the mayor.
Good morning.
Hi, you're on.
Hi, this is Tracy Wilson Kleecamp with Race Matters Friends.
Yes.
Thank you for your conversation this morning. I wanted to first thank Mayor Treece for getting on this morning early and talking about this, but I wanted to make a little counter narrative here about cost and priority. Part of the reason that we wanted community-oriented policing is because it's a philosophy about how you treat people. It's how you engage people. Secondly, part of the reason we have problems with some of these neighborhoods is that they haven't been a priority for a long time. And neglect is expensive. So community-oriented policing is a philosophy about how to engage the community so that we're more proactive about the problems that we haven't attended to over time. So we're talking about traffic and things like that, and it's really important to understand that we have those fledgling neighborhoods because we made political decisions not to invest in those communities. And they are impoverished and they are poor, and race is at the center of that neglect.
Let me ask you this.
Put that in there.
Please, I appreciate that. And let me ask you, so what would you like to see? What would be your, I mean, you've given it before. I'm asking you to summarize, what is community policing that would address what you just said?
Community policing on the very first level for me in a very simplistic way is really a transformational leadership. It's an ideology about your practice, just at a very simple level. Before you get to the money and all that, what are the practices that we currently have that are producing these disparities? And it's not just policing. It's a complexity or a confluence of issues. It's not easy. But the first thing is the way that we police and the way that we attack problems exacerbate the problems that we have. So we're trying to disrupt that.
Do you feel that if we had more police officers, it would free up police officers to be able to have that different attitude so they're not just rushing from response to response, reacting?
I think when you transform leadership, you transform your practice, which means you stop focusing on how many officers you have, and then you focus on how you solve problems. So that means that the whole burden of solving the problem, the way I look at it and the way that community-oriented policing works, which is collaborative, the job is not just for the police department to resolve. Mm. They work in collaboration with social services and the community so that we're working on it together. The idea is not to burden the police department by saying you need to have more staff. It's to transform the way we work on problems with the community so that we can ameliorate those concerns. So talking about staffing distracts from the idea of what is our current practice and why is it leading us to have these outcomes. Community-oriented policing is a philosophy about rethinking the way you do business. It's like getting new software to apply to new business rules.
Have you seen an improvement in some areas in the community where they've taken a different attitude towards what they do in law enforcement?
I think that the data that the city has shown to date in the areas where they have done community-oriented policing has shown great success. And a lot of it is about working collaboratively with the community, which is the whole point of it. Mm. From our point of view, it's not to do it geographically, it's to do it institutionally as a department. So that's why we keep saying we want you to them to embrace a philosophy. It's a change in the way that you direct your attention to problem solving.
I hear what you're saying. Anything else you want to say specific about that? Are you saying current leadership will not succeed in doing this change?
No, I'm not saying that they won't succeed. What I'm saying is the point of community-oriented policing is to transform your leadership ideology about solving problems And namely, that is to work collaboratively with the community.
Mm-hmm. What other departments?
So focusing on staffing is kind of down the line. Mm. The first thing is, why do we have these problems? And at the beginning of the conversation, I suggested that we're talking about taxing and priority. I'm saying that part of the problem that we have is that we have neglected our poor and underserved minority communities, and it's expensive.
Yes, the result of that is expensive.
So now yep. we're having to think of new ways mm-hmm. to solve it.
What
when
other...
we do apply resources to it, we see that we can make change.
I will let you go after I ask you one more question. What other
sure.
departments other than the police department will be crucial in helping to achieve what you just said?
Well, it's supposed to be a collaborative effort with the city in terms of how they look at problem solving, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that would include Health and Human Services. That would include the Columbia Public Schools. It would include community organizations. As we have discussed probably ad nauseum, and this is also covered in the Mayor's Task Force on Community Violence. So this is a new phenomenon. This is something that's been on the table for a long time.
Thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Mayor, your reaction to Tracy?
Well, I appreciate, it may be premature to call her Dr. Wilson Kleekamp yet, but I appreciate her philosophy and her approach to this issue, and I can't agree more. And let me give you a very concrete example. A couple months ago at the end of a city council meeting, a resident of Quail Drive came to us and said her neighborhood needs help. And as a result of that help, we operationalized the very type of wraparound services that Tracy Wilson Kleekamp just adumbrated. That included some additional streetlights in her neighborhood. It was Parks and Rec going out there and trimming back the trees to make the street and sidewalk seem safer. There's just all kinds of things. And when you talk about the neighborhood neglect or deferred maintenance on some of our neighborhoods, we do pay the price. And that price is more frequent law enforcement visits. It's more frequent shots fired incidents. It's all of those things that contribute to the melee that some neighborhoods experience. And hopefully it's having police officers on the ground, on the front lines, that are empowered to notice and to take action and think outside the box, if you will, about how can we make this neighborhood safer? How can the residents feel safer? And how can they feel empowered to expect the results they deserve?
It was a week ago that publications started to respond to the latest ETC Institute survey mm-hmm. of feelings about the city. You are aware of that, well aware of that. It seems to me about 50-50 split on whether people were in the categories of satisfied and very satisfied put together. They're around the 50% mark, and that would mean that people that were less satisfied or dissatisfied would be, I would suppose, the same, although probably many didn't have an opinion. What were your thoughts about that survey when it came to services of public safety and especially the police?
I pay very close attention to that. You know, there's been a steady atrophy in people's satisfaction and with public safety and simple answers as to whether they feel safe. That number is even lower if they, when they were asked, do you feel safe going downtown? Those numbers are unacceptable to me. You know, last year we had 109 rapes. We've had 17 homicides, the largest number since, I believe, in 2000. That is, you know, look, if this was a football game, we'd be having a coaching change right now. And look, we have to do something to get our arms around this violence. I asked the city manager at the first meeting in December to come up with a short-term 6-month strategy to intersect this violence, whether that needed additional overtime on the part of our detectives. We have hired one more crime scene investigator. That doubles them. We now have two. But whether that means, you know, pulling back some patrol officers and put them back in detective rotation until we get our arms around this violence.
Again, then, that sounds like it's a staffing issue.
I think that's part of it, but, you know, at the same time, I don't know how we allowed ourselves to get into this situation to begin with. And to me, all of that requires constant investment. But let me give you an example. We have added 12 new police officers, 12 new FTEs to the Columbia Police Department without raising taxes. There are still 11 vacancies. And I get that it's difficult to recruit, but we have to do things differently and better to be able to make sure that we're staying on top of the public's expectations here, and we're not.
Some of the stories about this have said we could use or need or should have, if you were looking at the number of citizens and the number of police officers per citizen, we need to bump up to just over 300 police officers. You know, that same survey, people said at least less than real fervent feeling of supporting any kind of increase in tax for that purpose.
Right, and that's the bind that we're in. I mean, that's 128 new police officers, David, and you know, to achieve that is very difficult within the current revenues of the city. But at the same time, we should have been making those investments over the last 10 years to make sure that this is this is one of the most basic functions that people expect their government to provide, and it's something that we need to do. And I do everything I can to reinforce public confidence in how we spend their precious tax dollars. That's one of the reasons transparency has been a major initiative of my administration, and I continue to show clearly that we use tax dollars wisely.
What have you found out? If we had the 120 some more police officers to bring it up to 300 or 301, which would be the target number there, and let's just put that out there as that target number. If we had that many more police officers, would we see a whole lot more police presence, or would this be to help relieve the load that is on the current police force more?
Well, hopefully you would see shorter response times. You might see two police officers in a car. You know, look, I want to make sure that our men and women that protect and serve us every day are also safe. And, you know, there's particularly some of these 3 p.m. to 1 a.m. shifts that, you know, I'm nervous and scared for those men and women that are responding to calls by themselves. And so there's many forms that can take. You know, there's right now when that police officer comes on duty, there's a backlog of 911 calls that they have to respond to. Hopefully that means better customer service. I don't know that means that we're going to see a police officer. I don't want martial law in Columbia, but I do want to make sure that we're on top of crimes as they occur with shorter response times and make sure that our detectives are also have the same ratio that is a best practice for communities our size.
How do we summarize this then in this segment, as I have to let you go in a couple of minutes? We've heard one call which was concerned about no traffic unit, and traffic is a concern that he has. Then we heard Tracy Wilson-Klinkamp, who called up and said, oh, it's more than just a staffing issue. This is a whole philosophy. This is a city approach towards why are there areas where people feel unsafe and why are there areas where crime is more rampant than other areas. And she does say it's related to race, but it's more than just a relationship to staffing numbers. And then your thoughts about that in addition. So how do we summarize this? What's the point?
Well, I think part of the point is exactly that. It's a leadership philosophy of how we treat not just our officers, but how those officers treat the public they serve, and to make sure that all of those interactions are positive. But they also want to make sure that we're making those investments on the front end, if you will. And that's not just the financial investments of what it costs to run a properly staffed police department. It's that those police officers feel empowered to really look at situations and address them in a creative way, whether that's engaging Parks and Rec or Social Services or the Health Department or the school district. You know, and after last week's events in Parkland, you know, I'm leaning more towards the investments that we can make with school resource officers. And I know our high schools, you know, have fantastic. Corey Bowden just retired from Battle High School, and Sean Dutton. And Keisha at Rockbridge, that, you know, the more that we can build those relationships with not just our students in our public schools, but with our neighbors and residents in some of these target neighborhoods, I think is going to pay dividends. But to do that, those police officers have to feel that it's part of their that it's part of their rigor, that it's part of their curriculum, that it's part of their the institution that is going to value that response to those issues.
I'll let you go. Just one final thought. If this resolution passes and the city council says we want to proceed with this, and we're directing city staff, including manager Mike Mathis, to have a proposed plan by August 31st, 2018. That would seem to indicate we're not going to be voting on anything like property taxes or something like that with that purpose in mind for increasing the number of police officers on anything until sometime late this year or next year.
I can't support any type of tax increase at this point. I mean, look, we've already provided new police officers that haven't been filled, and under the current, until we have a plan moving forward that the entire community can agree on, I'm not comfortable raising any taxes for this or anything else. But I do think this will go a long way to build public confidence in not only the police department that we want, but in how the city spends its precious dollars.
We'll let you go with that. Mayor, thank you for taking the effort to be with us today.
David, I appreciate it, and have a great week.
Always good to talk to you, Mayor. Mayor Brian Treese on Newstalk 1400 KFRU.